Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Nguyen. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He's a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
This morning, I'm starting the service, and I'm going to give you the title for today somewhere in the middle of the service. But just so you understand, we're talking about Exodus. Amen? The first thing I would like to start by saying this morning is that God has a wonderful plan for your life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Declares who? God has plans for somebody here. Plans to prosper you. And I like the fact that God doesn't say plans to make you rich. Because prosperity is far more than money. You tell me, what is the use of having money and not being healthy? What is the use of having 10 cars and you are only one person? So prosperity is a broader term. It's far beyond money. It encompasses all the areas of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. God says he has plans to prosper you. Amen. And some of you are like, but where is the prosperity? There is a difference between the plan and the finished house. Any house built without a plan is a hazard. Don't live there. And any prosperity gotten without a proper plan will not last. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. It has always been God's desire to prosper his people. It has always been God's. You see, you want to be rich. You didn't come up with that idea. God had that idea before you had that idea. You want to succeed. You are not the first one to think about success. God thought of your success before your success, before you thought about it. You are not the only one working for your own success. There is a God also working to help you succeed. That could be good news for somebody. I mean, it changed my life when I realized I was not the only one who wanted me to succeed. That there is also a God who is planning for me to succeed. That not everything is against me. Because some of us, when we wake up in the morning, it's you against the whole world. But it's good to know that there is a God who loves you and who has a plan. It's a plan. But that plan contains everything. When an architect put together something for you, he already sees the end. You can't. But then he gives you plans. Sometimes he gives you also a model. He gives you an idea of what can happen. But the model without a plan is useless. So I'm so happy God has a plan for our lives. Amen? And it didn't start with us. If we go back to where Exodus, the whole Exodus is starting from, the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 17, "I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey." Say with me, plans of prosperity. So you see, this thing didn't start today. It has always been his intention to get you from a place of misery to a place of grace. To get you from a place of lack to a place of abundance. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That is the Old Testament promise. If you come in the New Testament, the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible there says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So you see, again, God moves you from one place to another place. Not from one place to nowhere. From the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. From the land of misery, which is Egypt, into the land where milk and honey is flowing. Do you understand? That's how God works. When God gets you out of sickness, he's not getting you out of sickness into the hospital. He gets you out of sickness into health. Now, whether this has become a reality or not is another story. But I want you to first establish how God thinks. I want you to first understand the intentions of God towards us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there is a lot of connection between what happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt to what happens to you and me today. Actually, Egypt and us, if you check it carefully, you will see that there are so many similarities, and we call them types. Say with me, types. It's the types. Many things you see in the Old Testament are actually happening in the New Testament, but just in a different way. And so in the Old Testament, it was a type and a shadow of things that were to come. Now we are in those things. Let me give you an example. Egypt. The Bible talks about Egypt. Don't think about that country in the north of Africa. A New Testament believer, when you hear Egypt, you don't think about Egypt. Egypt in scripture for a New Testament believer, it represents the world system. Or if you would, the dominion of Satan. So God is still getting people out of Egypt. When God gets you out of the world, he has gotten you out of Egypt. Are you following? So his people were in slavery, and God's people today are also in slavery. In slavery to sin, in slavery to all kinds of things. And they have a slave master, and they have many slave masters the same way. So Egypt is a type of the world system. There is a world system around you. The Bible says we are in the world, we are not of the world. Why? Because we are living in the same ground, but we belong to two systems. That's why it is a dangerous thing for a believer to want to be like the world. Because you don't understand it's two different systems. Let's look at another type. Pharaoh, who was the ruler of Egypt. Everything you say about Pharaoh in the Old Testament is what Satan represents. Pharaoh is a clear representation of Satan. A person who is determined to not let you go. A person who is determined to enslave you till you die. Until he wants to enslave you, your children, your grandchildren, forever and ever. God forbid. That is what Pharaoh represents. So when you see Pharaoh in the Bible, don't think Pharaoh. There are no more Pharaohs today. But there is a devil who is a representation of that particular entity. So Pharaoh represents Satan. Egypt represents the world system or the kingdom of darkness. Canaan represents the kingdom of God. The kingdom you enter into when you get born again. The world, the system of God. That's what Canaan represents. Canaan is not representing heaven. It is a system down here. You enter it through faith. Moses represents Jesus Christ. Moses was sent by God the same way Jesus was sent by God to go and save people, the same way Jesus came to save people. And Moses experienced a resistance from Pharaoh the same way Jesus experienced a resistance from Satan. It's the same thing. It's the same system. Moses was the deliverer. He's a savior. Jesus is a deliverer. And he's a savior. Manna. The manna they used to eat every day. Manna. Manna represents the word of God. Give us today what? Our daily bread. And manna was when? Daily. Every day. They needed new manna for every day. And God taught them, don't get some manna for tomorrow. Only take for that day. You cannot live the challenges of today with the word of yesterday. You need a fresh word every day. The reason many believers are struggling because they're trying to eat the manna of 3 weeks ago. And it becomes a problem. The children of Israel were not supposed to keep manna somewhere. They were supposed to take manna for every day. To collect daily. So the word of God is to be received daily. Give us today our daily bread. And Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So Jesus is the word of God. So you need to have daily word. And a believer that is serious about his faith must have daily devotions. A believer that is not spending time in the word cannot win. Daily. I'm just explaining to you how the system used to work. And how it was a type of what is happening today. And another thing was, the manna was by faith. Because you had no guarantee that manna will come tomorrow. Actually, the same way manna came, that's also how it disappeared. It came without being announced. It also disappeared without announcing itself. The pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire was a type of the Holy Spirit. Every time the pillar of cloud will move, the people will move. They were led by the Spirit. They didn't move because they wanted to move. If the pillar is standing, they stay. And the Bible says in our time, you see, when you read the Bible, you see the pillar of cloud. You say, oh, wow, this is powerful stuff. The Holy Ghost is fire. But the important thing there is that every time the Holy Ghost will move, the people will also move. I mean, when the pillar will move, people will move. When the pillar stops, people stop. Even today, believers are supposed to move only when God moves. The Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A child of God that is being led by people's opinion cannot go far. So I'm showing you the types. And we talk about Exodus. Pastor, why are we talking about Exodus? I mean, we are not in Egypt. We are. Well, there is a system that we are trying to come out of. But there is a type. On these types I'm talking about, that I want to spend a few minutes on this morning. And that type was the wilderness. The wilderness is also one of the types. You see, like, Egypt represents the world system. Canaan represents the kingdom of God. Pharaoh represents Satan. Moses represents Jesus Christ. The manna represents the word. And the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire represent the Holy Spirit. When those people left Egypt, they started a journey in the wilderness. And what does the wilderness represent today? The wilderness represents difficult times. The wilderness represents tribulations. The wilderness represents hardships, trials, temptations. And the wilderness is also a place of training. We're talking about this other type among the other types. There is another type called the wilderness. The same way you have the manna, you also have the wilderness. Now, I want to show you a scripture. Why did God take his people through the wilderness? Why? Exodus chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. That was a short road. You just got these people out of slavery. You are taking them to the promised land, the land you prepared for them. What is the quickest way? Use the shortest road to get them there quicker. But God did not use the Philistine road, which was the shortest road. Can I submit to you that most of the time, God doesn't use a shortcut? Actually, God doesn't use shortcuts. So if you are here and you love shortcuts, just keep listening to me. For God said, if these people face war on their way to my promised land, they are not ready. Verse 18 says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. He didn't lead them through the way of the countryside. He led them through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, why the wilderness? That's the title this morning. Why do I have to go through the wilderness when I come out of slavery? Let me break down the questions. Why is it possible that a person who goes to church can have problems? Let me ask another simpler question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why? Why? Have you noticed that bad things do happen to good people? Why? Why the wilderness? Why this hardship? Is it possible for a child of God who loves God, who serves God, to suffer? Where is Clive? Clive, stand up. On the 4th of July, God bless Clive's family with a bouncing baby boy. I wanted to show you guys the pictures today, but I got them a bit late. But now you might ask yourself, why did the church withhold this information? This was a blessing. I mean, last year we married him here. And the Lord blessed him with a child. Why? Are we not telling the people? Because that child, as soon as he was born, I don't think he was even out for 2 or 4 hours. The child found himself in ICU. I think the same day he was born. The same day. And we started fighting for the life of that child from the day he was born. The first time I went to the hospital to see Judah in ICU, I found pipes all over him. A baby with pipes. Why? Clive is working in the church. Clive is serving God. Clive has sown himself to the things of God. Why would something like this happen? Thank you. The good news is Judah is out. And he's healthy. And he's going to live. Sunday, we celebrated the wedding. Stand up again. The wedding of these two guys here in the church. It was a beautiful celebration. But if I could give them the microphone to tell you the hardships that they had to go through before we smiled here on Sunday, you are going to ask yourself, why? Why could it be that something so nice as a wedding will have so many problems? Why? But we celebrated their wedding on Sunday, and they have entered the Canaan of their wedding. After many tribulations and many hardships, many problems, they have finally entered. Sit down. On Tuesday, it was about 7 a.m. in the morning. And Fifi calls me and she's crying. And she's telling me, Pastor, we need your help. We need your help now. I said, what? Help for what? Where are you? And she tells me she's been involved in a car accident. And I'm surprised she's the one calling me. So I ask her, where is Peter? And she says to me, Peter is not talking. I said, what? It's 7 a.m. the morning. I think it was even earlier than 7 a.m. My son has been involved in that car accident. And it's been one of the most painful weeks of my life. I have gone through things in my life. I was operated twice. I have never felt pain the way I have felt pain this week. Never. I didn't know how much I loved that boy. I have lost people before. And mind you me, my son is not lost. But the type of pain I have felt makes me ask myself, why? I'm in there. My wilderness is not over yet. I'm still in it. But it's amazing the timing of God that I'm launching a series today and the type I'm dealing with is what I'm going through. So let me start quickly by giving you four reasons why a Christian can suffer. Let me first explain to you something. There are two types of sufferings. There is a suffering you suffer because of what you did yourself. The Bible talks about them in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief. Or any other kind of criminal. You see, you can suffer for these reasons. You are not suffering for the right reasons. When you suffer as a criminal, you are getting what you deserved. But there is another type of suffering that comes just in verse 16 there. It says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, so a Christian can suffer. Do not be ashamed. Praise God that you bear that name. You might be suffering now because of disobedience to the word of God. They are the results of infligging and manipulating the scriptures. I'm not talking about that type of suffering. That is a suffering as a criminal. It's a crime. You are paying for it. I'm talking about a child of God, a Christian, somebody who loves God, who serves God, who lives for God, and who is now going through a difficult time. That's what I want to. Can I talk about that for a second? That's what I want to talk about because many of us are faced with this on a daily basis and we don't understand why. Why? Why I go to church, I love God and I still don't have a job? Why is it that I've been serving God, I even tithe and I still don't have this, I still don't have that? What is going on? Why? Why is it that Peter will, I still look at the pictures of Sunday. How he led you in here. How he danced in here. Peter didn't sleep. I think for those 3 days prior to that wedding, the guy didn't sleep. Organizing the wedding of his brother. Why is it that a person can live so selflessly? And something like this happened. I'm his father. So my pain is too much. So I have to ask God questions. You must tell me what is going on. Why is this happening to me? So I want to talk about the suffering of Christians quickly, because that is our wilderness. People of God go through the wilderness. Those were the people chosen by God, and they had a wonderful promise, and God could have taken them through an easy road, but he took them through the wilderness. First reason why a Christian can suffer, I'm talking about a serious Christian, can suffer. The first reason why suffering can touch a believer is because you are no more in the Garden of Eden. Eden is the only place that is perfect. Everything is beautiful in Eden. But we were driven out of Eden. Are you aware of that? Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So man was removed from the place of security. Man was removed from the place of protection, which was Eden. You and I were born out of Eden, not in Eden. Just by virtue of the fact that you are living in a fallen world, trouble will come. Do you realize that if you are living in a war zone, you need to be careful? A bullet can come out of nowhere. And a bullet shall not see you in Jesus' name. Because I now realize that I need to actually be careful. Amen? Amen. All right. So the first reason, we are no more in Eden. It's important that a believer is aware, I am not in heaven yet. Reason number two, Satan rules this world. It's not my opinion. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 says, we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control. So you imagine the person who is controlling the affairs of this world is an evil person. And you are living in a world that is controlled by an evil person who hates us. From time to time, things might go bad. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Not some of the world. Because some people think South Africa is too much. Let me go to Australia. Australia is part of the world. Wherever you go, the guy is waiting for you. The whole world. Some people say, no, my village is full of witchcraft. Let me go to the city. Ah, the city is part of the world. It will interest you that the demons at the city might even be more worse and wilder than the ones in the village. It is the lack of this understanding that causes many believers to live carelessly. Jesus kept saying to us, be vigilant. All these things that he tells us. Why would Jesus ask us to be vigilant if there is no need to be vigilant? Why would Jesus say, give no room to the devil if there is no problem, if you give room to the devil? Please learn something this morning. I repeat, I qualified to talk to you about this because I'm not saying I've been through. I am in it right now. As I'm talking to you, my son is still in the hospital. Yesterday he was operated. He's still in the hospital right now. There is an evil in this world. And if you are not watching, you need to know there is an evil, but that evil will not see you in the name of Jesus Christ. We have authority over it. Hallelujah. Reason number three, sometimes hardships, not all the time, it's a sign that you are doing something right. A believer who has no fight, a believer who has no problem, is not a believer. A believer, everything is just flowing nice. No resistance, no fight, no problem. No, you came out a long time ago. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12,
In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
He said, in fact,
everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So persecution is usually a sign you are doing something right. The persecution might be bad itself, but it is actually telling you you are doing something right. Because Satan does not persecute weak Christians. People that are not fighting him, people that don't pray, people that don't do anything. He has not, what, they're already with him. But true believers are always fighting. You might have heard somebody say to you, my life was okay until I became a Christian. My life was just okay until I started this Barcelona story. In fact, everyone who wants to live, do I have people here who wants to live a godly life? Everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. So persecution is a sign you are doing the right thing. The persecution itself is not nice. When they were stoning Stephen, it wasn't nice. But they were stoning Stephen not because he was a criminal. They were stoning Stephen because Stephen stood for Jesus Christ. Stephen lost his life because he was a child of God. Because he was standing for what he believed. When they killed Jesus Christ was persecuted beyond imagination. It was not because he did anything wrong. It was because Jesus lived for God. And as a sign of him living for God, it took him to the cross. I'm here to tell somebody that sometimes when you are going through difficult times, it does not necessarily mean you did something wrong. It is actually meaning you are doing something right. That is why the persecution is coming. That is why the persecution is coming. So I don't get discouraged by what I see. It is telling me, boy, you have hit the thing on the head. You have actually started meaning business. It is because you are meaning business, you have awakened certain things that were having fun. They were enjoying. Don't you ever think that you are doing nothing? Every time you decide to live for God, I'm telling you, the first sign is resistance. This type of Christianity where you have no problem, I question your Christianity. Before, true Christians were known for their sufferings. Today, Christians are known for their blessings. That's why there is no power. That's why we cannot do big things, because people just want the blessing. And when a Christian sees suffering, he runs away. But the Bible says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So persecution is a good sign to me. I'm sorry to sound controversial to some of you, but persecution is actually a sign. I don't like it. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't feel good. But it's a good sign. I'm actually not even preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to myself. Because every time something goes wrong, the first question, what did I do wrong? Where did I miss it? This boy was born blind. And people came to Jesus and asked him, who sinned? Was it his father? Was it his mother? Who sinned here? Because for them, the sin was the reason why the boy was born blind. And Jesus says, the father didn't sin. The mother didn't sin. This thing did not come because of sin. It came to bring glory to God. Certain things, look, God has his own way of doing. You know, your way of thinking about glory and God's way of thinking glory is not the same. Because you have your way of seeing what glory is, and God has his own way of seeing what glory is. So what looks to you as a shame, when Jesus was on the cross, what was glorious about that? What was nice about that? And yet that was the greatest thing God ever did on earth. That was the greatest victory God had ever brought to this world. And it is because of that cross that you are sitting here today. Can I submit to you that the accident of my son is not going to go in vain? Because of that issue, I can tell you, under heaven, something is going to come out of it. Something must and will come out of it. I guarantee that to you. Because that boy has served God. That boy is serving God. And there is no way that he will go through this in vain. It doesn't happen. It cannot happen. Then it is not God again. It cannot happen.
Why do Christians suffer? You are no more in Eden. You are living in a world that is ruled by an evil person, an evil force. Just look around you. Fathers are raping their daughters. That is the rulership that you are under. It will show you who is in charge. We are having a new Jerusalem is coming to this world. You will see a difference in that rulership with what is happening right now. Yeah. We keep accusing the president. Look, these people are puppets. They don't know what they are doing. You accuse them for nothing. They don't know themselves what is happening. Many of those people are well-intended when they run for office. They really want to make a difference. They really want to do something. But the moment they enter there, you don't know what they find there. We don't know what they find there. We don't know what comes to them in the night when we are sleeping. We don't know. They just change. Because the whole world is under the control of an evil one. That the president can have all the good intentions to do something good, but there is an evil spirit that is fighting also. Reason number 4. Suffering, interestingly, is part of the salvation package. When you go for a contract, there are packages, there are things that come with the contract. Do you understand? There are certain things that you get. There are some privileges. But there are also other things that come there. And sometimes they are written small, you don't see. Tribulations is part of the salvation package. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, say amen.
Amen.
This is Jesus speaking. Peter asked Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, and interestingly, that my son, his name is Peter. And Peter said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What are we going to get? Jesus says to him, there is no one who will leave everything, who will leave his father, his mother, his wealth, everything to follow me and for the sake of the gospel. Jesus Christ says to him, indeed, he shall receive 100-fold now. In this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. But it doesn't end there. With persecutions. So, you will receive houses. Say amen.
Amen.
See, that is the part of the gospel where we have all stopped into. Where we tell you about what you're going to get. You are receiving a house now. Street number 344. I can see your key. Who am I talking to? I see your key here. And then there is a key here. And then receive it one. And receive it two. That's and it's true. There are houses. No, it's there. Who am I speaking to? I feel a house this time. I sense it. Wow. Receive it in Jesus' name. And you see people jumping like a goalkeeper. But I yet have to find a preacher who will say, receive some persecution in Jesus. Hey! Ah. I bind you in Jesus' name. You are a prophet. You are a false prophet. You are a false prophet. These are the words of Jesus Christ. You will have a house. You will have brothers. And many of you have found brothers here. Haven't you found brothers here? You will have sisters. You will have mothers. You will have children. You will have land. Real estate. With persecutions. I'm sure when Jesus reached, he just said, with persecution. He didn't speak. He didn't speak too much. He just said, you'll have house, car, la, with persecutions. He said, why are you still excited? He said, with persecution. He said, what did you say? What did you say? No, I said it. With persecution. So it's part of the package. We have signed up a package that includes hardships. I know it's not nice to talk about it. And I'm the most qualified person to talk about this. John 16 verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say, in this world, you might have trouble. Have peace, please. I'd rather have a preacher tell me the truth so I can prepare myself properly. rather than living in mirage and I'm always confused. When things start happening, I don't know why they're happening, and I start living in condemnation and guilt, and I start looking for people to blame. No. I think one of the psalmists says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many, not many. But the Lord delivers him from them all. He said, take heart, I have overcome the world. That is our promise. The promise is not that you will not go through pain, but the promise is that you will overcome the pain. The reality is not that you will not have a punch, but the reality is that after the punch, you will bounce back. That is what the whole thing is all about. The thing is not that you don't get punched, but the thing is that after you are punched, you will overcome. You must be able to bounce back. Look, when you have received a punch, you cannot change that. You have received, you cannot, it's not that you can reverse, you can't reverse, done. But what I can do, I can bounce back. I say I can bounce back. And we need to start having an attitude where whatever it takes, I'm going to bounce back. My son is bouncing back. My son is bouncing back. And I told God last night when all these things were being told me, I said, look, I don't want to talk much about this. That guy is coming back. All right? And he's going to do more than he did before this. That's it. That's it. I don't want to talk much. Let me quickly give you the purpose of the wilderness. Elijah ran to the wilderness. David running away from Saul. David kept going back and forth in the wilderness all his life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, went through the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, fasting and praying. Every true general goes through the wilderness. God trains his generals in the wilderness. And when they go through it, it's never nice. But I tell you, you just watch and see what comes out. The Bible says, and Jesus returned. Peter is returning. Yes. The wilderness, number one, the wilderness humbles and tests us. When you go through the wilderness, it's going to humble you. And by humility, see, I'm not saying humiliation. There's a difference between being humbled and being humiliated. When you are humiliated, it has no good in it. But when you are humbled, you are made to see how small your strength is and how you need to depend on God. I'm not saying the wilderness humiliates you. That's the work of the devil. I'm saying the wilderness will humble us. It will help us realize we need God in our lives. We need God every day. We cannot do it on our own. We don't have what it takes to do it on our own. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, "Remember our Lord. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you." So that was the purpose. The wilderness is to humble and to test. Just to test you in order to know what is in your heart. What is really in your heart? The wilderness has a way of revealing things that are in us. God always knew those things were there, but you didn't know. So the wilderness will show you. This is what is there. And this is what you need to do. Amen? Whether or not you will keep his commands. Some people, when they go through the wilderness, they abandon God. I mean, I give you the example of Job and his wife. They were going through the wilderness together. And they were making progress. But somewhere in between there, Job's wife said, "I stop here. I'm not going any further. This is it." She said to Job, "How are you going to continue holding on to your righteousness? Curse God and die." The Bible says Job remained unflinching to his commitment to God. He said, "You are speaking like one of the foolish women. Must we only receive good things from God?" The wilderness will test your heart. What is really in your heart?
Because Satan's argument was, this man is serving you like this, ne? It's because you have blessed him. Take away the blessing, you will see he will curse you. So he took away the blessing. Job didn't curse God. He's serving you like this, God. You took away the blessing, but he's still healthy. Touch his health and let's see. But I'm happy to tell you that Job passed that test. And the Bible says, God turned the captivity of Job. He had twice as much as he had before. See, God never tests you to take you down. He tests you to take you higher. We shall go higher. When this thing is over, when this storm is over. You know, yesterday I was sitting and I said, you know, a few years from now, people will be envying me. They'll be envying this ministry. That a young church with small guys, we're trying to do something for God, and we are going through all kinds of problems, and no one knows. But tomorrow, when God starts really blessing us, there'll be a lot of people who will envy. But they will not know our story. They will not know what we had to go through. They will not know this day. They will not know last week. When you envy somebody, remember that he might have gone through things you don't know anything about. He might have gone through some wilderness where God fixed his heart. When tomorrow Peter ministers with big signs and wonders and big things are happening in his ministry, people will envy the anointing. But they will not know what it cost. The time it took. What it took to get to that place. The second reason why God takes us to the wilderness is to train and prepare us. The wilderness trains and prepares us. Jesus was trained in the wilderness. John the Baptist was trained in the wilderness. Elijah was trained in the wilderness. Moses was trained in the wilderness. It's a specific place for training. So many times you will go through the wilderness. Meaning you will not have as much as you want to have. Meaning things are not going to go the way you want them to go. Even though you are trying to work so hard, they will still not go. Because you have to be trained. And this is the scripture that has ministered to me the most. And I want to share it with you. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. I think we can all find comfort in this scripture. It says, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider. You see, the way you look at it. You can look at it as a problem. Or you can look at it as a training. Consider it. It's the way you consider what you are going through. And I want to tune my mind to consider it as pure joy. That God loves me and my family, and God will never allow anything to come to me that he didn't prepare me for, and that he hasn't had a way, a better way out for. I believe. I don't need to see it. I am a believer. I don't see, I believe. So I believe that I don't work by my feelings. My feelings right now are raging. Everything in me is broken. But I believe there is a God who has a good plan for my life. And that God has figured this thing out long before he allowed me to go through it. And even if I can't see what's going to happen, he knows. And I will trust his leadership. And it says, when you face trials of many kinds, whenever. You say, it doesn't say if, it's a when. Because it's a when, not an if. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you be mature. That's the purpose. Complete. Lacking nothing. Lastly, let me submit to you that wilderness is never a destination. Wilderness is a way. It's part of the journey. It's never the destination. So we don't go to the wilderness. We go through the wilderness. What me and my family and this entire church is going through right now is not our destination. What my son Peter is going through right now is not his destination. Just like when Judah was going through what Judah was going through, we knew that is not, Judah is not born for ICU. We knew that, so we spoke. So maybe you are here and you are going through. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, when I go through the valley, when I go through, not when I go to. You are not going to the valley. You are going through. You are going through. It's, It's a way. It's not the destination. That is not where your journey is ending. You are going through the valley. As you are journeying, you are now encountering a valley called the valley of the shadow of death. But that is not the address. Just like when you are driving, sometimes you find a very bumpy road. That is not where you are stopping. It's just part of the tribulations and the hardship. But you just keep pressing on the accelerator. You just keep moving. Tell your neighbor, keep moving. I'm speaking to myself right now. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm not going to stop. If I stop, I have made the wilderness my destination. And that is the mistake many people have made. And that's the mistake you should never make. To allow the tribulations to become the end of your story. Because there is always a sunshine after the storm. Always. I yet have to see a storm that lasts forever. No matter how heavy the thunder is, no matter how strong they are rolling, it's just for a time. After a few times, you see how how black the sky was and how the light was. It goes quiet. The storm is over.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, you see, you are passing through. You are passing through. And many of you are here, you are passing through stuff. Don't make it a destination. Maybe somebody broke your heart. Maybe somebody broke a promise they gave you. You are passing through a difficult time. Don't make it a destination. Just pass through. Keep moving. Keep pushing. Keep moving. Keep moving. Just keep moving, Baba. Just keep moving. Maybe somebody disappointed you. But you keep moving. Just now you're going to find somebody who will be faithful. Yeah. There is something that Pastor Joel Austin said years ago. I mean, he said many things. But there is something that man said that I never forgot. He said, every no you get is a step closer to your yes. Never stop at a no. In other words, the way we say it in South Africa, don't take no for an answer. Never take no for an answer. Because there is a yes awaiting you ahead if you keep moving. This will say no. That one will say no. That one will say no. But somebody will say yes. Yeah. This is Benefit. Benefit wanted to open a bank account. And almost every bank he went to, they told him no. No. I said to Benefit, I've got a bit of experience in this thing. Keep going for more banks. You'd be surprised. One bank will say yes. And he went back that week. He kept going for more banks. And he called me, Pastor, a bank has said yes to me. And today he has the account. Yeah. When you pass through the rivers, I decree according to the scriptures, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze in the name of Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive City Church, Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.